looking for a unicorn, like me. I'm just gonna do what I feel like doing. I don't really have any rules. You know, I'm just having fun and everything's been really great so far. I hope that I find somebody. This is not normal life.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode 25 to Life. Joining me this week that is not Adam Bonifest is proctor for the bachelor bracket at our workplace, as well as bachelor super fan, Libby. Say hi to the people, Libby.
Hey, everyone. How's it going?
Really excited. So a lot of happened this week. Frankly, the thing that I am most upset about, we will talk about at the head of the show. Libby, your feelings loosely on the show before we get in depth.
I mean, what a train wreck.
To put it mildly.
What a train wreck. That said, for the most boring season we've watched in a few seasons, a very exciting episode.
This thing turned it up to 11 this week, because you're right. There was literally nothing that happened between, I don't know, episode like 3 and today. And then today it was like, oh, by the way, we had all this new content to show you. This is crazy, right?
And I think they really got us when they, you know, had us sitting around and waiting for 30 minutes not knowing whether or not we were going to have a show at all.
Oh, also a great thing to bring up. The Democratic National Convention decided to go 30 minutes over, so we basically had to wait and see until 8:30 about whether or not we'd even see the show. So
it was all about suspense.
I mean, God bless you, Michelle Obama, for being an unbelievable human being. Bernie Sanders, thanks for continuing to be that old man that we are like, okay.
Let him speak.
And then, you know, for making us wonder whether or not the show was going to come on. So thanks. Really appreciate it. Yeah. So let's get into the end of the road, because I have a lot of feelings about this. So this week we lost Luke. I'm devastated. I don't know about you, but I'm wrecked.
I mean, outside of the fact that it blew up my bracket.
Completely.
And it blew up my bold prediction.
Sure did. You know? Ruined it.
Just everything is ruined. I'm also just so sad for him.
The thing that I hate is that, you know, Luke was so amped up on, like, saying all the things that he wanted to say. He, like, took her out of the group and he said, you know, when I feel things, I need to get them off my chest. And I need to tell you that I love you. And for JoJo, who has been so very clearly into a vulnerability play this season, because if you're not vulnerable enough for her, she's like, no, I'm not into it. For him to be this vulnerable at the last minute, you would think that, like, she would say, okay, this is fine.
A devil's advocate here.
Okay.
I'm just gonna say it.
Just say it.
If his whole thing is, when I feel something I wanted to get off my chest, then why didn't he say it in Texas?
But he didn't know in Texas. Do you really think that he knew when he was in Texas and just wasn't saying it?
You think that he set up a heart made of roses and didn't know?
Do I know that the producers set up a heart made of roses? Yes, I do. However, I get him saying, like, oh, God, this just ruined me.
And I was heartbroken for him. I mean, he literally lost the ability to speak.
He was speechless. It hurt me so bad. Like, I really wanted him to be able to get all of the things out that he wanted to get out, but he was as shocked as the rest of us were.
Literally, he looked like he got hit by a bus.
He looked like he got hit by a bus. And then Jordan was like, why is he doing that? And then Robbie was trying to rationalize it, because he's like, I know how to think things because I'm smarter than everybody here. And then Chase, in perfect form, said nothing. Do you feel like he was unnecessarily put through that rose ceremony?
Yes. Because, well, I guess you can take her, like, VO out of context, and they could have had her record it later.
Right.
Fine.
Right.
But, like, she knew what she was gonna do. She should have done it. She should have pulled him aside before the rose ceremony.
She should have done it in Texas.
Like.
Stop saying what I'm saying. So we get to the rose ceremony. I just, after all that, like, he was basically finger banging her like 4 episodes ago. What happened?
And you, we've talked about this. Like, you know that, like, Fantasy Suites coming up, like, let's put Jace, who literally can't, like, do anything.
Yes!
Up against Luke, and you know who is gonna treat her right in the Fantasy Suite.
And
newsflash, it's not Chase.
Right, because Chase wasn't even able to do it. I mean, looking at Luke, you know he can put it down in the bedroom.
And you know that he is, like, he's gonna care about her.
Real talk. Luke gives it back.
Gives it back.
Luke gives it back. Someone that doesn't give it back? Jordan. Rogers. Okay. Okay. I mean, the one thing that I continually want to say, we've said it a lot on the show, and I don't know, Libby, if you believe this, but tell me if you do, tell me if you don't. The value of vulnerability to JoJo is so important.
You're right. Like, for her, that is crucial. That is key.
Crush.
You can't base a relationship solely on somebody's ability to continue to be vulnerable.
Thank you. Thank you. And that is why we're going to get into the situation where Robbie is going to win this whole show, and I'm going to be mad about it, and you're going to be mad about it, and everyone we know is going to be mad about it. Because he brought up, oh, sorry, I guess my ex-girlfriend is still mad that I broke up with her 4 months ago. So, we're really sorry that Luke is leaving. I just... His speechlessness was so...
He was so thrown off.
He had no idea. No idea. Like, I couldn't even handle the fact that he didn't understand what was going on.
No.
Because I didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah. We will never know what we could had.
That was
his quote, because it's not
right. Even a full it wasn't even sentence. Real words. Like, if there was any time to have a physical manifestation of someone just pounding on keys on a keyboard, that was Luke. That was Luke tonight. Just people, just this is me, just typing and saying nothing at all. We'll miss you so much, Luke. So this is a challenging question, even though we'll get to bold predictions later. Does this solidify Luke's place as the next Bachelor?
God, I hope so. I mean, I'm thinking of the other possible options.
You mean Chase?
Yeah, and by the other possible options, I mean there's no options left.
That's it!
Like, that was my bold prediction, was that Luke was going to come in second, and he was going to be the Bachelor, and it was going to be great. But can he carry a show?
Can he carry a show is a really good question. Because for him to be in these difficult situations, like he was on the show this week, the bumbling doesn't help his case.
Mm-mm. He has a hard time when he's caught off guard, stringing together a sentence.
Right.
So, like, if a contestant were to show up at a rose ceremony unannounced.
Ooh, ouch. Are you talking about someone we saw on the show today?
Like, he would not be able to roll with the punches. He would need to take a minute.
He is not a punch roller.
No.
He is very structured. Hence why he was so good in the military. Very good with structure.
And makes a great farmer.
He makes a great farmer. He loves structure. So, Luke, we hardly knew ye. The next gentleman that we lost this week, Chase. So, Libby, tell me how you feel about Chase, because I know how I feel about Chase. Now it's your turn to speak.
So, Chase is a little bit like the wallpaper of the season. Like, you know, like, decent to look at, not much to talk to. Like, there's not a whole lot there.
And I accept that.
I'm frankly surprised that he's top four. How did this happen? How did we get here?
I mean...
Where is Wells?
I can't have this fight with you right now.
I know.
I mean, it's a fight that we both agree on, but I can't have this fight with you right now.
My personal feeling is I'm very surprised that he is top four. I think I've had him in my bracket going out probably once a week for the last 8 weeks, which is why I'm no longer in first.
Same. The thing that... I think we go back to the vulnerability play with JoJo. That she appreciated that he opened up about the divorce of his family. He was loosely rewarded for saying, I love you, when he's never said it to anybody by getting to the Fantasy Suite. And then we get to their breakup, which was, I feel like, probably one of the best on-screen breakups that we've had in a very long time.
I think it was the most honest.
real
breakup.
Tell me about that. In a long time. Go to that place.
Like, seriously, this is, first of all, the most personality we've seen out of the guy.
I know.
In the entire season.
He was fired up. I was like, oh, girl. Tell me how you really feel.
And literally, like, she's literally like, I wanted to fall in love with you. I wanted to be with you. And it's like, okay, JoJo, are you making this his fault?
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be in love with you, but you're not good enough. Like, right. You're not helping.
And he was so fired up about this whole thing. I honestly think this is the best breakup we've seen since Dez and Brooks.
Yeah.
It was good.
100%.
And he said some real... He really did.
And he was not holding back, like, oh, I know this is hard for you. And he was like, oh, you didn't want to do that? Well, you did it anyway.
Ooh, snaps. All the snaps to everybody. Drama.
What drama?
The thing that I really loved that Chase said was that, you know, you brought me to the fantasy suite. You built me up. Said without saying it, obviously, because he didn't say any of this. No,
he's not articulate.
No, he's soft-spoken. But he had a really good date, so I felt really bad for him. Because he
had two really good dates
in a row!
So it was like the tension was building. Was he the dark horse?
Sure. Was he Catherine? Was he the Catherine of this season? I don't know. We were all unsure. And then
it just wasn't. All of a sudden, she was like, meh.
But you know what? The thing that bothers me the most about this is that she was so broken up over Chase. And you mean to tell me that after all of this with Chase, she didn't like Luke even that much?
Yes.
What I loved what Chase said when he was in the car, I think he cracked a Taiwanese beer because he was so fed up with this whole situation. He was over it. He said, it's like pulling your pants down. I said, fantasy suite match. Jeez. It's like pulling your pants down and kicking you in the nuts. I said, graphic. But I see where you're coming from.
But probably pretty realistic.
But very realistic.
Like, why would she, like, this is my question. She knows what's going to happen. She knows that she's at this stage in the competition. She knows that none of these guys are going to try to bed her without being like, I think I'm in love with you.
Sure.
Or I think I love you. Sure. Or I love you.
Like, I get it.
You know it's coming.
Yeah.
So why do you say yes to the fantasy suite?
Great point.
And also, do not come at me with the, I just don't know if in a week I could say I love you.
Are you sure?
Realistic time frame.
What do you mean? Robbie said I love you after 5 weeks. That's terrible. No. That's not good.
That's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse. And the thing that challenged, that I just can't get my head around is that, so you kept Chase, and Chase didn't say he loved you until this week.
But you
kicked off Luke because he didn't say he loved you. So it just, like, my life is completely fucked up right now. I just don't know. So we say goodbye to Chase. Of course, we'll talk about his date a little bit later, but let's get into the dates that I guess matter. So we're in Thailand. Now, mind you, this is the third time?
At least the third time.
Because the first time was when?
The most recent time was Chris Soul season.
Right. And because I remember that because he was with Becca at a temple and he couldn't kiss her?
Yeah.
Like, they narrative.
They continue to do this, and there's always some editing funks with the monkeys.
I refuse to be a part of this narrative where monkeys are involved.
It's my favorite part of the narrative.
Okay. So, Libby loves monkeys in Thailand. Good to know. And then they also went to Thailand for Sean and Catherine's season, for their finale. That's what they said. I don't know. I looked it up on the internet. So, third time's the charm, ABC. So we go to Thailand. I literally can't even hear JoJo talk about Luke because she keeps talking about him and saying things like, you know, oh, my breakup with Luke was so challenging. Was it? Was it a challenge for you? I was very upset by that.
You knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming. So the date with Robbie is the classic sort of alternative, you know, foreign location date where we walk around a market for a while. And it rains. Great. So we get to the evening part. I really didn't have anything to say about this date other than...
I was kind of bored by this date.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's the same fucking bachelor date that you're always used to.
Yes.
And, you know, then they talk about, like, birds and the bees, and then all of a sudden JoJo... I think my biggest problem, which is my problem with her the whole night...
Sure.
...is that JoJo is all about, like, are you guys ready for this type of relationship? And then every time she gets intimate in a conversation with one of them, it's like, well... I got heartbroken because Ben said that he loved me.
Who cares about Ben?
She doesn't even go here.
Like, were you ready to come on this show or not?
Right. I don't think she was. No. I think the challenge, the thing is that she wasn't over Ben. And whether we want to talk about it or not, this is not a bold prediction, but this is a 25 to life exclusive. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God. Am I ready?
I mean, put your ponytail in before we can talk about it, because it's about to go down for real, in the words of Flo Rida.
It's going down for real.
All right. You know, for as much as her brothers were so, quote, unquote, protective of her, were they right? Were JoJo's brothers right in telling... Ben being so forceful with him and saying, you know, she gets really broken up about this kind of stuff. She's super sensitive. She takes these really hard. And, you know, if you break her heart, she's not going to get over it for a long time.
And by a long time, they certainly didn't mean 8 months.
They sure didn't. And I don't even think it was that long.
Nope, I think it was like five.
It was like five, or it was like three. I mean, not a lot, so.
I mean, I don't think she was ready, and I think the second that the producers realized that Kayla couldn't do it, and that she couldn't cut the cheese.
Kayla couldn't cut the cheese.
I think that JoJo was like, I mean, I guess. I guess I can get over him super quick.
Do I get cute clothes?
Can I have more sparkles?
That's fine. Is somebody going to do my makeup and can I get free eyelash extensions whenever I want? And they said, yes.
She said, all right, I'll do it.
So we get to the evening part of the date. Basically, Robbie talks to JoJo about, oh my God, I love you. My family loved you. I'm so sorry that I had this crazy ex-girlfriend. Will you still have sex with me? And she said, yes.
I think one thing that we can't leave away from this date without talking about is... we cannot stop talking about the fact that he had this note from his dad.
Tell us about the note! This is gross! I hate this!
The worst part about the note was he was like, yeah, so my dad obviously saw it was a really rough night, and then I, like, took my jeans off to go to bed, and I found this note in my pocket, and he just slipped it in there.
I was like, so your dad's touching your butt? Like, is that what you're saying?
Is it normal enough for your dad to put his hand in your pocket that you didn't notice he put a note there?
Solid point, Libby. Really solid point.
Real question. I'm not judging you. This is your family. But, like...
We know you guys are close. You got a lot of siblings. You got a lot of siblings.
But, like, also, that note is disgusting. JoJo, don't take it and do not keep it.
Well, and then the other thing is did, like... When was the note actually written?
Right.
You know, because we can create this narrative.
Sure.
Like Taylor Swift. That the note was written and created at the same time that JoJo was at the house. I don't believe that.
No.
For as much as we know the Bachelor producers.
I'm going to go ahead and say that the note is from a Bachelor producer.
Ooh. Bold prediction.
bold prediction. And maybe his dad mentioned this in passing, like, on the way to the airport. Like, these are things that I know.
I love that you said that. God bless you, Libby. Because this will continue to be a bone of contention. So, they have sex. She's basically crying about having sex with him.
I'm so horned up.
And maybe it's me. Am I just not attracted to Robbie? Or is it that... I just don't know.
It's not you.
Okay. That's safe. That feels fair.
He's like a creepy, creepy Ken doll, and there's just nothing. It's not you.
Okay.
You can just take that and move on.
Okay, good. I'm just glad that it's not me, because every time I look at Robbie, I'm like, no.
No, hard pass. No.
Like, even with the swimmer's body and all that kind of stuff, no.
No.
Okay, so we get to Jordan. Finally, we're in a place where he's no longer wearing skinny jeans. This is amazing to everyone involved. And so on Jordan's date, they are walking a series of hills / having physical activity. Classic Jordan move.
That said, I can clearly see why he is the former third string quarterback. He was so winded.
Nice. So Jordan Rodgers is out of shape. Now we know that. And I enjoy that this date was really more of a physical manifestation of them having sex, climbing hills. We've all seen Something's Gotta Give. Those stairs were Harry's downfall. Many occasions until he finally made it up the stairs. And he and Diane Keaton walked off into the sunset together. What a great film.
It's a great film.
It's a great film.
That's just the longest metaphor.
Jordan's basically not saying anything. She is so ready to...
I'm so horned up.
It is unreal. And of course the producers put her in a situation where she can't...
They can't even really touch.
They can't even really touch. They're at another temple where you can't kiss. My thing is like, stop going to Thailand if you don't want anybody to bang on the show. Jordan focused his conversation on talking to JoJo about what they would do in their future. This was sad for me. Libby, what did you think about this?
So I think the first thing is like red flag number one, JoJ.
Well, is it number one or are we like at red flag number 15 with Jordan?
Red flag number one for this portion of the temple.
Sure. Okay.
Because I'm sure there were a few on the way up.
Several.
There's probably a couple on the way back.
Definitely.
For the part where you're sitting on the blanket in the temple, red flag number one. When he's like, oh yeah, you know, you meeting my family was the last box to check. And she's like, yeah, I really want you to meet my family too. Ooh. Like, oh, self-centered much? Flag one.
Yes.
Flag two. So what is your, and we're not talking 5-year plan, we're not talking 10-year plan.
Sure.
What does your 1-year plan look like? I don't really know.
That's not a good answer.
I don't care if it's cheesy. You need to say
something.
You need to say, I'm going to be with you.
Exactly.
In 1 year.
Exactly. And Jordan couldn't even say that. That's not good.
It's not a positive sign for you, JoJo.
So, granted that Jordan is probably not unemployed right now. He's probably an account something. He probably works
in... He consults someone on something.
Sure. Maybe he's doing some mild sales. I don't know. However, you should know, it's very unclear that, you know, JoJo was like, your lifestyle. What does that mean? When she talks about lifestyle as the royal we, what does that funnel down into when she says lifestyle?
Like, do you have a job? These are my questions. Because, like, really, are you, like, freelance? Doubtful. Like,
right. You're not freelance.
You're not. And, like, are you trying, like, I think what she's really saying is, are you trying to get on TV?
Right. And I think that's a reasonable question. I'm very upset that she didn't actually say it explicitly out loud. And knowing the Bachelor producers, come on, that's gold for them. Which means she didn't ask that question.
Right.
Which scares me that she's dumber than she looks.
And I did, like, right at the very beginning where she's like, when she's like, what's your 1-year plan? And he's like, I don't know. And then she kind of was like, that scares me. Like, I thought she was going to push it a little bit further. I thought we were going to get a little bit more.
No, Libby. This is Aaron Rodgers' brother. She's not pushing anything.
But, like, but come on. Like, you thought maybe, like, there's only 3 guys left. Like, I really thought we were going to get a little bit more something, and then it just goes back to him giving half answers and her being like, okay.
I mean, the thing I love is, and I wrote this down, and I know we talked about this while we were watching the show, he, David Caruso, and jaded her. Like, I don't, guys, the 40-year-old version, when Seth Rogen says, be David Caruso in Jade, where he basically repeated everything that she said. Because what did he say? She said something like, oh God, and it was perfect. Like, where do we go from here? And he was like, yeah, where do we go from here? And then she was like, oh, he's so smart. He's like, oh my God, he's thinking about our relationship. I'm like, no, girl, he just David Caruso and Jaded you.
Right. Or like when he was like, I don't really need a home base. And it's like,
but where are you going to live?
Like, you need a home.
But don't you have the dog?
Like, what are you going to do with the dog?
What are you going to do with the dog? But, you know, these are the symptoms that we've seen this entire season from Jordan. Moral of the story is she still had sex with him. Who cares? He probably was definitely not a giver. And, you know, Robbie is trying hard enough to give it back. Because
you saw the morning after where that she was basically like, oh, that was nice. Like,
yes!
Oh my God!
That was my favorite moment.
That he like was like, okay, I'm good, we're done.
I'm good, we're done. She's like, but I'm not done. The fact that she said that was so hilarious. And she said it with such a soft kind of, she was trying not to say it, but then it just kind of came out of her throat. She was like, this is coming out, I can't stop it. It's like, no, it wasn't, girl. It was not nice, girl. So clearly she's buying this, and I keep coming back to this. She's buying Jordan's garbage, and we've got Luke no longer on the show. I'll say it again. Luke would have given it back.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no
whole time. There's that all night.
All night. All night long. So we get to Chase. This date was really good. I mean, I don't know about you, but I felt like this date was really good.
I felt like it was really good. I also like to rename this date, JoJo Says the Darndest Things.
Oh, please, tell us all the funny things that JoJo said.
It literally was just like snapshot to snapshot to snapshot of basically JoJo being like, monkeys are humans, or like, it smells like fish. Like, what
why would you say that?
Like, did you know at the beginning of the date that you weren't into it, so you're just trying to make awkward conversation?
But she was doing
it. It seemed genuine.
It did. So, like, maybe it's because she felt like Chase was being really loose and she was being more playful with him, and so that was nice for her. And I feel like maybe that's why she was being more playful. I don't know how you feel about it.
I mean, I feel like they came off this great date last week.
Great date.
The vibe was still the same.
He was
feeling good, because the reason their dates have been bad in the past is because he's been insecure. So he came off this great family date. He's super relaxed. To your point, he's like very loose. And that's why things like felt really good until she was like, oh, I have to wean this down to two people, and I don't want to f*** you quite as bad.
I know what your body looks like, and I'm all set.
Good. I had my little makeout session with you in the ocean. The hands were under the water.
Right.
I think we're good.
I got finger banged just enough. You seem like you might know what you're doing, but need additional assistance. I don't have time to train you. That's what I heard. I don't know if that's what you heard.
Yeah, that's essentially it. I think that's the net-net of the conversation.
That's the net-net. Thank you for bringing work jargon into this.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So he was being really loose, and like the whole date, I felt so bad for him. So we get to the dinner, and he tells her that he loves her. Chase goes all the way over the deep end. He says, I love you, and you know, you're who I want to be with. This has been such a great experience, and I've never said I love you to anyone first before. And you could tell on her face, could you not?
As he's saying it, her face is just like, what am I gonna do?
I mean, so she invites him back to the fantasy suite, which is the worst. Like, why would she do that?
No, she shouldn't even have brought the envelope out.
No, because she knew then.
She's saying, again, VO can be taken out of context, but she knew that she loved, quote unquote loves Robbie.
Don't do this, because I can't even hear you say that. It makes me sick.
And she loves Jordan for God knows what
reason. Again, still sickening. Chase says I love you, opens up, is finally vulnerable like she needs him to be. But Luke is vulnerable for him at an important moment in the rose ceremony, and he gets punished for it.
It's a double standard.
It is. She just say you don't like somebody. If you don't like somebody, just let it be that. Don't turn it into this whole thing where, oh, he's not vulnerable enough. He's not this.
Didn't get this from him. I didn't get that. It's not their fault.
Yes.
You gotta own a little bit of the fault here, JoJo.
Yes, relationships are two ways. Then JoJo comes back from her quote-unquote break in the fantasy suite. Breaks up with Chase. And Chase explodes. I don't know about you, but I was very turned on in this moment.
I was just surprised. I didn't think that he had it in him.
But does this make him more attractive to you?
Yes, because he has a personality now.
Right. So, did he always have this personality, do you think?
Maybe, and he's just, like, afraid of cameras?
I mean, reasonable. That seems fine. That seems like a thing that a lot of these guys are.
But then don't come on a televised relationship game show.
Well, whose fault is that? Well, whose fault is that, truly?
Probably Chase's friends who forced him to apply.
I feel like that's reasonable. So we get to the cocktail party, quote unquote, rose ceremony, which is not a cocktail party at all. And Chase comes down from the heavens. And the guys are like, what's happening? And he says to JoJo, I'm sorry that I acted like a crazy person last night.
Which is like kind of a crazy move.
Yeah.
Own it.
Yeah.
You finally had a personality. You stood up for yourself. You called her on her.
Yeah.
Do not apologize.
Yes.
She's not going to take you back. If anything, she probably was a little bit more turned on last night because you stood up for yourself.
Thank you, Libby. Thank you for saying it, because just like you said, don't apologize for your feelings. If we have learned anything from the latest feminist rhetoric that we have recently seen an uptick in the last 3 years, don't apologize for your feelings.
No.
Don't do it.
Don't say sorry.
You have the privilege of being a white man. Own your feelings.
I will give Ben Higgins credit where credit is due, because Robbie and Jordan did not know what was going to happen. They were like, literally, this is not part of the rules. You get kicked off. You can't come back. But Ben Higgins broke the rules last season, and there was no repercussions.
Interesting.
So they're like, we don't know. Can he get kicked off? And then he comes back, and then one of us goes home? We have no idea. And, like, we as viewers are not morons, so we know that's not going to happen. But, sure. Like, for them, scary moment, and I appreciated it.
I mean, great point to bring up. However, is the double standard there that, you know, JoJo, as the Bachelorette, doesn't have as much freedom to, quote-unquote, break the rules because, lest we forget, Caitlin...
It's true. This is true.
...was quite the rule-breaker, and... things escalated.
This is true.
And the one thing I will say about, you know, always when we come to the Fantasy Suite Weeks, the fact that the Bachelorettes are, especially JoJo, was very open about, I'm every single one of these bros, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not. And she did. Like, I have no qualms about that. I don't feel like she shouldn't have done that. Even as much as I hate Robbie and even as much as I hate Jordan, I felt just fine with JoJo getting hers this week.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I think, rules aside, you gotta figure that out before somebody proposes to you. Personal
Bingo.
Opinion.
Real talk. Just
personal
saying.
Opinion.
Just saying.
That's gotta be figured out.
And even if Caitlin did have sex with Dick twice and still pick somebody else, that's her prerogative.
She had to figure it out.
Yes.
That's not my business.
That's not my business.
I can't judge her for that.
No. And for Chase, is, I don't know if the narrative this week will be, I mean, sure, on Jezebel it might be, but any other news site, you know, she might have invited him to the fantasy suite, but no means no.
Fact.
Facts. Let's get to the power rankings before we get to our bold predictions. So we've got two guys left. Libby, who is your number two? Tell us why. And then who is your number one? And tell us why.
All right. I have a really hard time with this. Because I hate everyone who's left.
Sure, that seems reasonable.
But, you know, I think I've got Robbie in as my number two. Because I think that she cannot get it out of her head that she could be related to Aaron Rodgers. I really and truly think that. And I know that he does not have a relationship with Aaron Rodgers, and I know that he is quote-unquote not the same person as his brother, and he has an alternate personality, like, you know, whatever. All I have to say is that, to a certain extent, JoJo knew what she was doing when she came on this show. She wanted to be Bachelor famous. What better way to be Bachelor famous than to marry the quasi-celeb brother of a football player?
Excellent point. I have never heard anybody put it that way so explicitly. I appreciate that. The thing that is so interesting to me is that, and we have had many a discussion about this on and offline in the 25 to Life universe. So we have had somebody that has come forward, a friend of ours, Nicole, who told us the full scoop and gossip about Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers, the family, whether or not it's legit. The rift in the family is very legit. And the catalyst, my friends, is Olivia Munn. I mean, do you believe it? I believe it.
I believe it. I do. And I...
She's a polarizing figure.
This is true. She's polarizing between you and I.
Well, most of the world.
Well, yes. But specifically, the two people sitting here right now.
Same. Correct.
And I know that it's not, like, an automatic in that, like... But there's, like, something to be said about the fact that JoJo's like, I'm attracted to this guy, and his brother's Aaron Rodgers. Like, I don't think it's priority numero uno, but I also don't think it's a fact to be forgotten.
And I think that her whole attitude changed last week when she found out that he was not as close to his brother as once assumed.
Yes.
So I think... For my bold predictions, or excuse me, for my power rankings, that makes me put Jordan at two and Robbie at one.
Really?
Yes. Because I think that she is very attracted to the famousness that comes with being part of the Rodgers family. I think she had to reevaluate her priorities when she found out what the relationship was truly like. Now, for all we know, Aaron Rodgers and Olivia Munn are not going to be MFEO for the rest of the end of time, made for each other. Just trying to get the Marina lingo in with everybody else. But I think that is really a huge factor for her. Whether we want to talk about it or not. Because, you know, the only reason that guys like Luke and Chase got kicked off and she's not in love with them anymore is because she's more interested in being famous than she is being with somebody who gives it back, one. Two, answers the call of vulnerability. And, you know, Robbie is a former professional swimmer. That's a cool thing. People know him. He's a star somewhere in the swimming world. And then Jordan is Aaron Rodgers' brother. And, lest we forget, is now going to be part of the SEC network as a commentator.
Is that post-Bachelor?
Post-Bachelor. So, bold predictions.
Bold predictions.
Tell us about what you think is going to happen on Mental All tomorrow.
First and foremost, this is a... medium prediction. Evan is going to ask for a shirt replacement from Chad.
Okay.
That is definitely happening.
If that was an opportunity for us to have bonus points against that in our Bachelor bracket, I would take it. 10 points.
Maybe it is.
10 points.
10 points. I will also say, I think that we talked about this. I think this is going to be a test for Luke. I think that we are going to get a one-on-one interview with Luke, and I think if he mumbles his way through that thing with any semblance of an articulate bone in his body, he may have a shot.
I agree. And I know we have talked about this endlessly this whole season, because there has been no one available in this whole thing that could even be a contender. And now that Luke is gone, and another bold prediction based on the rest of the trailer. Doesn't look like he's coming back.
No.
Because we thought he was going to come back.
I thought he was coming back this episode.
Right.
And I was so surprised when it was like...
Chase!
I woke up the next morning and I was really happy with my choices. I was like, Doge, were you?
Yeah. No.
No.
So, I think you're right. If Luke doesn't blow this interview tomorrow, the jig is up. Cat's out of the bag.
There's no one else.
Name another trope that I can add here that basically means Luke is the bachelor. No question about it. Bow legs and all.
Ugh, those legs.
Those legs. Woof. One other thing I want to say, bold predictions about Men Tell All. Wells. That's it.
I mean, I'm just so excited to get to see him again.
Oh, God, among
them. You know,
them.
That would be the boldest prediction.
Whew, girl. They're not ready for it.
They're not.
Wells is way too woke for The Bachelor.
They couldn't pull from every Midwest city if they wanted Wells to be The Bachelor.
No, they just couldn't. I mean,
he's too hipster. There's too many pins on his denim jacket.
That's very true. But, you know, I would take this engagement ring off for him. I think it might be time to rethink it. If Wells ends up being The Bachelor.
I mean, you can hold the date.
No, we can hold the date. The show only shoots for 8 weeks. I mean,
just saying.
If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. I'm really excited about the finale. I'm really excited about Men Tell All. Libby, I'm also really excited that you were able to be here to be on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been real.
It's been
a real treat.
Has it been unreal?
Yeah.
Okay. We will see you guys next week, and Adam will see you tomorrow talking about the Men Tell All with our old pal, Curtis. Enjoy!
I'm actually feeling feelings. I'm really excited. Let me just tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Totally excited and overwhelmed. I feel like this could happen right now. I'm really excited. That was the worst feeling. It was amazing. I will never find another lover. I'm actually feeling feelings. I'm really excited. Let me just tell you, it was the most terrifying thing I've ever done. Totally excited and overwhelmed. I feel like this could happen right now. I'm really excited. That was the worst feeling. It was amazing. I will never find it.